to see this number out tonight. Good to have some visiting with us from other places. Good to have some that we've had with us before, and we appreciate so much you coming and being with us tonight. Good to have the Hester family with us and appreciate them being here tonight. Good to have Sister Sarah Jones back with us. Sarah is a big encouragement to us, and I like to cut up with her, but she's a very sweet girl, and we appreciate her being back. And it's been good to have my father with us today. Always enjoy getting to spend time with my dad. If you have your Bible, if you'll turn with me to the book of Mark in the 5th chapter, I want to begin reading with you at verse 21. Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 21. Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed, and she will live." So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now, to save some time, if you will, drop down to verse 35. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word of that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult, and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was laying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kumi," which is translated, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given her to eat. Imagine you were there the day this little girl of 12 years of age died, and the father Jairus had gone from the house to find this one identified as Jesus, in hopes that he would heal his little girl. And while he's gone, the little girl dies. No doubt the mother of the girl sent the servants to get Jairus, for he was too late in locating Jesus. And the servants see Jairus, and they hit him with heartbreaking news. "There's no need to trouble the master. Your daughter is dead." And what a heartbreaking thought. Perhaps he looked at the woman that Jesus was talking to in the part of the passage we skipped, who had had an infirmity for 12 years. And Jesus had stopped to heal her, and maybe Jairus thought, "Well, if he had not been interrupted, perhaps we could have got back to the house in time." Or perhaps Jairus was just so overcome with grief that the thought that his daughter was dead was something that shook him to the core. However, as we make our study, I am made to believe that even though we've looked at this text many times before, I'm convinced there are many overlooked lessons. In fact, the business, I don't believe we've touched the hem of the garment to all the lessons that is involved. But at this time in our study, I want us to look at this passage with tender and receptive hearts as we examine God's infallible Word. The first thing I want us to know is the mourners. And that might sound like a shocking place to start, but in your Bible, in the book of Mark and the 5th chapter, notice that when verse 38, that when they came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, he saw the tumult and those who were in an uproar. They're weeping and wailing, and they're loud in their crying. And I want you to notice that these people are there weeping and wailing about the little girl's death. That would be expected of family and friends and neighbors. However, in that day, it was the custom to pay mourners, to pay people to come. And if one was sick or at the point of death, the mourners would come and they would weep and cry out. They were hired help as the family grieves, and they would weep and wail. You remember in John 11, there were people there with Mary and Martha. And no doubt these would have been paid mourners who came to weep and to mourn with the family. And sometimes here you find people that would come for the very act of weeping and wailing to give comfort to the family. And many times they were paid for that action. But I want you to take note, while they're in one room, the little girl lies dead in another room. Here in the house is the mourners, and in another room they laid the daughter of Jairus, and the wife is in that room. And no doubt when the spirit first departed and the mother was there, she experienced great grief. And to make matters worse, her husband Jairus is not there to comfort. He had gone to find Jesus. And so there are the paid mourners waiting for Jairus to return. Then we find the father Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue. No doubt he'd been called upon many a time when a family was in great grief. He'd been called to pray to find words of comfort. There have been times I've prayed beside people that were dying. In fact, there was a man that died when I was in the middle of a prayer. And so I know what it's like to be called upon, and the family wants someone there to pray, and they want words of comfort, and they want someone to express their heartfelt needs to God. And here was a family that is called upon people to pray to God and to mourn and to weep and to wail. And now Jairus comes home and he's the one that's going to need comfort. Though he had comforted others many times before, most likely, being the ruler of the synagogue, this time it was different. It was his daughter. It was his trial. It was his pain. It was his grief. And the servants had come with words that stung as he was pleading with Jesus to come to his daughter. Don't trouble the master. Your daughter is dead. Had that woman not touched his garment again, I thundered, would they have been on time? And no doubt the words of the servants were hurtful words, but look at the words of Jesus. And notice that Jesus gives comfort. He said, "Do not be afraid, only believe." I want you first to notice the words of Jesus. He tells Jairus to believe. Now trust that I am the Christ. Then the next thing, notice, Jairus and Jesus come to the house. And when Jesus enters and he hears the mourners, he says, "Why do you weep? She only sleeps." Jesus, in other words, claims their services aren't really needed. Why? You don't need to be here. And I'll tell you, the Bible says in verse 40, they ridiculed him. They laughed at him. Notice the laughter of the paid mourners. The family would be too hurt to turn around and ridicule. But these paid mourners who didn't have as much love invested, who maybe didn't care as much for the girl, they were able to look at Jesus and scoff and laugh at him. And notice what Jesus does to them. Jesus puts them outside. Have you ever thought of that? When they heard Jesus' words, they laughed him to scorn. They made fun of him, as the New King James Version said, laughed him to scorn. And this shows us their heart was not really grieving, for they turned to ridiculing on Christ on a dime. And then notice they belittled him. Do you think that was comforting in the presence of the parents? And I doubt Jairus or the mother was not laughing. Love, mind you, mixed with heartache and hope would keep them from such. But the people weren't paid to love the little girl. They were only paid to grieve for the little girl. But that brings the thing when Jesus buds them out. He tells them, leave. And so the sounds of the daughter being wept for dies out as the people leave the house. And the sound was replaced by the people who truly grieve. Jairus, the mother, the sound of sorrow and hurt. And Jesus takes in with him the parents, Peter, James, and John, into the room the little girl lives. Have you ever stopped to wonder what was going on outside? I got to admit, I wondered that. I can imagine some of the questions being asked by those that Jesus had put out of the house. I can imagine someone say, well, we better still get paid. And I can imagine someone say, I wonder how many left saying, well, I guess our job is done. And saying, do we have to stay? And I can just hear the people outside as they're wondering what they should do. But then you think about the girl when she's raised from the dead. When Jesus came into the room in verse 41, and he took the child by the hand. How tender a picture do you have of Jesus? And he says, Talitha kumi, and which is translated little girl. In some translations, as a friend of mine who studies Hebrew said, he's really saying, little lamb, arise. Have you ever thought that he's tender with the little girl? Wake up. Can you imagine when Jesus touched the hand of the little girl and then the girl is raised from the dead? Imagine the feeling in the hearts of the parents. Great joy. And then Jesus says, get her something to eat. Notice she arises and walks and they're overcome. And Jesus says, you need to feed her. And I want you to think about, my friend, that here were people that were gratefully rejoicing because the dead girl was raised. But that brings up something else. After Jesus had told to give them something to eat, the time of mourning is over. But did the people who first laughed come to believe? Or were they like the mob at the cross? Consider the mob mentality. When the religious leaders wanted Jesus dead, Jesus came to give life. On the cross, the one who arose or awakened the dead was now dying. He was being laughed at again as he hung on the cross. His mother saw her son. There were not many weeping, but a lot of rejoicing over the death of her son. And I think about the bitter, hot tears of a mother watching her son die. And there was no pained mourners at the death of Jesus. Just the loyal band of disciples who found the courage to go to the foot of the cross. I want to take that. I want to make application in the lesson series. The first thing I want us to look at is the fact death appears to be the end. But that's because we see it from one side, the side of departure, not the side of arrival. And to Jesus, death is nothing more than a doorway. He called death sleep because to Jesus, the only thing permanent about death is the judgment to follow. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, he said, you were dead in your sins and trespasses. But there's a very important verse in Ephesians 2. He said, but God, but God, who is rich in mercy and grace. What did he do? He has raised us up to sit together with Christ in heavenly places. He has taken away our sins. You think about in John 17:3 with his prayer that when he talks about without his resurrection, we would have what? No eternal life. And without our baptism into his blood, we're headed to eternal death. And what we need to recognize tonight is that death is eternal if you're not right with God. If you die separated from God, you have eternal death. That's what Jesus says in Matthew 25, 41, and 47. And so the only way to escape eternal death is to be in Christ and receive His gift of eternal life. In Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life. That's what Jesus offers. That's what Jesus gives. Oh, I would that I could get that into our hearts. That's what he was saying, and I quoted the passage a moment ago in John 17 and verse 3. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Secondly, imagine you were there that day. Would we have laughed? Why or why not? What does the mourner's laughter say about their faith in Christ? They didn't believe. And there's a lot of people today who laugh Jesus to scorn. They ridicule Him. They mock Him. They belittle Him. They laugh at His people. But you know what Jesus said in John 16:20? Your mourning and sorrow shall be turned to joy. When? Where? In Christ. In that day. Thirdly, we know that after seeing some of His miracles, people begin to believe what He preached. But the miracles only confirmed who He was, the Son of the living God. And people put their faith in His Word, in what He taught. Open your Bible to the book of John in the 11th chapter. And look at what Jesus says in verse 43 after He raised Lazarus. He said, Lazarus came forth, and he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And He says, loose him and let him go. Then look at verse 45. Then many of the Jews who'd come to Mary and had seen things Jesus did believed in Him. Why? He confirmed He was the Son of God. Question. What would it take for you to believe in Christ to obey His Word? One last thought in the lesson journey. Open your Bible to 1 Corinthians 15. When you come to 1 Corinthians 15, notice, if you will, kindly what Paul said in verse 1 beginning. What the gospel message really is. Sometimes we just look at the gospel and we fail to see what the good news is. Paul breaks it down for us. In verse 1, he said, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you receive, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if, it shows a condition, you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and was buried, and that He rose again that third day according to the Scriptures. Underscore the Scriptures. That was what was prophesied about. According to these verses, notice how many people saw Jesus after He rose from the dead. And you start reading, and you'll find 500 at one time. You'll see the 12. You'll see Cephas. You'll see James. You'll see Paul, who was said, I was born out of due season. But you think about the people who haven't seen Him and still believe. You know what Jesus said about that in John 20? Blessed are they who believe, even though they've not seen. Imagine you were in the room with the paid mourners. Or imagine you were in the room with those who've seen the risen Christ. Tonight we're in a room where we've not seen with our naked eye the risen Christ. But I'll tell you what, I've seen Him by faith. And as we talked about this morning, the resurrection is of the utmost importance. The resurrection. And I've often thought about how many people scorn Him, ignore Him, want Him to go away, when all He does is bid us come and obey Him, so that when death comes, it's just a doorway to a better place, instead of an end of a life here, only to be lost in eternal damnation. Jesus said, I came to give you life, and to give it abundantly. What you say to Jesus is, I don't want life, when you reject His pleas to come. One day, we too will be raised up. Paul says that in 1 Corinthians 15. In verse 20, he said, just as Jesus was raised, so we will be, if you continue to read through there. In John 5, we'll be raised either to life or to condemnation. Question. Let's just say it's your house tonight. They call me and the elders to come. You're in a back room and some of the family members are out crying. There's no paid mourners, but people are concerned. If you died, would they still have hope of seeing you again? Or does hope end? Because you aren't right with God. you're not right with God, hope ends when the soul departs. But if I'm right with God, I have hope of seeing Him and hope of seeing those I love again. The question is my faith in Christ? If you're here and you need to obey the God,